Many times we do things that we know we shouldn't have done. We expect folks to understand. But this young man, he began to repent. He began to reform himself. He began to be renewed. Second Corinthians 14 and 16 say, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." That's an opportunity every day for you to be renewed in God. God is not a God that would allow you to perish in your sin as long as you got a mind to repent, as long as you got a will to get it right with him. God will always forgive you of your sins. The prodigal son was now in a form that the scriptures that we often use, he was in. He had associated himself now with Romans 12 and 2. And it says, "And be not conformed to this world." He tried to conform himself to a lifestyle, to a way of living that wasn't fitting for him. He tried to live as other folks live. And it wasn't healthy enough for him. He tried to do what others do, but it wasn't fulfilling enough for him. It says, "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We've got to come to the state that what we do is we live the will of God. And if I can do anything else in life right, let me live the Lord's will. He had came to his mind, nothing else matter. He said, I know that nothing else matter. At first, all I wanted to do was go to a strange land and be on my own. He said, but now no, nothing else matter now is that I acknowledge that I have acknowledged my sins and that I let the Lord know that I am a new person now. I don't think the way I used to think. I'm not looking at things the way I did at first. I'm not evaluating circumstances. I'm dependent on you to lead me and bring me through.
Hope you enjoy our pastor's message. I'm Brother Michael Williams. Thank you for listening. We pray you were enlightened spiritually by our radio broadcast. If you would like a copy of our service or support us by donation, write us at Bethany Ministry Center, P.O. Box 6764, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307, or call us at 318-561-0064 and leave a message. Join us next Saturday at 12:15 p.m.
WAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Good afternoon. I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my wife,
Minister Mildred Townsend.
And you're now tuned in to Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on KAYT. Sit back and enjoy the Word of God.
To take a stand. Not no.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Minister Mildred Townsend of the Moments of Inspiration Ministry.
Along with Bishop Kenny Townsend.
Amen. And we're just blessed to be here once again.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
So we're thankful and grateful for this very blessed day, thanking God for all that he's doing and all that he already has done. We're just blessed to be here, blessed and highly favored of the Lord. So we give God praise on this day. We give him glory on this day. So we're very honored to be here and thankful to be here. So right now, I'm going to read the scripture and then go in prayer. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. Heavenly Father, We just thank you today, Lord God. We thank you for being so good to us, Lord. We thank you for another opportunity to come before you, Lord God, to give you praise, to come before you, Lord, to give you thanks today. But truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, you didn't have to give us this day. We realize, God, that you've been so good to us. You've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. So, Father, we just want to thank you for this day. We just want to ask you, Lord, to look on the bereaved family, the people that are depressed today, Lord God. Some don't know where the next meal is coming from. They don't know how they're going to pay the bills. They don't know how they're going to eat. But, Father, you have a remedy for them. And, Lord, it's King Jesus. Lord, we trust you today. We thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you for what you already started to do, even in this day, Lord. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. So we're just grateful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So for right now, Bishop.
Well, praise the Lord. We thank and praise God, amen, for once again coming to the station and sharing with God's people in these last days. Praise be to God. Praise be the Lord. So we just thank and praise God for all that he's doing, amen. We thank you for tuning in to another session of Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on KAYT 88.1 FM. To those of you that have been listening, amen, we have been in the arena of marriage and the family, something that is needed to be expressed in these end times. That's right, amen. We see that there's a decline taking place in marriages and families all over the world, amen. I just had the distinct pleasure, me and my wife were sitting back looking at a documentation of a very well-noted ministry years ago. Amen. And when we began to look at this ministry, we began to see how what God intended was a message to the body of Christ, to unify the body of Christ, but it catapulted into a, how can I say this without being offensive? It catapulted more into a business as opposed to a ministry. And it grew and grew until it grew to the likes of Disney World, if I can use that for greater words of expression. It grew so until it began to escalate more about not really building a kingdom of God, but building a kingdom for one's own self. And these are the things that people have to understand, that in the times that we're in, the same fallen angel, Lucifer, is still prevalent in today's society to get us to bow down and worship him. He took our Lord and Savior, Minister Mildred, in the wilderness, and he said all this, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time, and said, all this will I give you if you bow down and worship me.
My Lord.
Now, the kingdoms of this world represent prestige, glory, honor, fame, prosperity. I mean, all of those things encompass everything in which that Satan wants to give us. And no doubt about it, why would he want to do that? Because those very elements were stripped from him when he was the anointed cherub. I mean, every precious stone that you could think of was his cover. His clothes were diamonds, emeralds, topaz, carbuncle, onyx, gold, silver. I mean, this is what God made this rascal with. I mean, those were the clothes that he gave him. And so when he fell from the grace of God, he was stripped of all of those things. And yet he came to Jesus and said, all this will I give to you, for it is given unto me to give it to whoever I want to give it to. He uses that same phrase today. It doesn't matter about ministry. It doesn't matter about who you're worshiping with and where you're going. He wants to take and pervert the very thing that God instituted in our life. And Jesus had to go back and tell old Slewfoot Lucifer, said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord God, and him only shalt thou worship. Thou shalt not worship filthy lucre. Thou shalt not worship silver. Thou shalt not worship gold. Thou shalt not worship houses, land. Thou shalt not worship cars. Thou shalt not worship anything that is considered an abomination, because these things soon become idols even in the ministry.
Oh, yes.
And this is the reason why we have taken it upon the Holy Spirit in our lives to lead and direct us back to the emphasis of marriage and the family. These are components and elements in which that the enemy is destroying day by day. And when you look around, you can see the decline. You can see it happening on every level. Minister Miller. But before we go any further, we've got just a few minutes that we'd like to express thanks and appreciation to brothers and sisters that have stood with us all over the continental United States. Amen. To those, amen, that are listening, to friends all up around Natchez, Mississippi, all up in Jonesville, all up around Natchitoches, all up around Leesville, Bunkie, all up around Marksville, amen, and some of the places, Baton Rouge, wherever we can be heard, we just want to throw the high five your way and say a big old hearty God bless you to each and every one of you. And we earnestly covet your prayers, because in this society, when you're praying for the Lord, amen, you're stirring up, amen, the festers of the enemy. The enemy, amen, gets angry and upset when truthful biblical application is being processed through your ears. Amen. When these truths are being shared to you, amen, you've been used to being so hyped. You've been used to being emotionalized. You've been used to being mesmerized and Simon the saucerized until when the truths come up, it's kind of hard. It reminds me when I got ready to get back in school. I hadn't studied. And when I did begin to go take my test for my degree, diploma, I sat there for hours and hours, and as I read, do you know what? The next day, my brain was just cooking. Amen. My brain was fried because of the information. And it actually hurt. And so, brothers and sisters, what we're saying is that when truths come to you and you've been used to being bamboozled and hoodwinked, it's going to create a disturbance in the mind. It's going to create a disturbance in even in your spirit, man. It's just like when a person says, I'm healed, and yet their body feels the pain. It's going to reject the truth of what the Word of God says, that with his stripes we are healed. Praise be to God. But you've got to stand on the Word of God. And that's why we're bringing the Word of God to you in truth, sincerity, and totality, to let you know what it's going to take to help God's people get back to the place that is pleasing to the Lord. It is safe to say that we are out of order as the body of Christ. And many things we have allotted, we have allowed to fester into our solemn assembling. We have allowed things to come in and to say, well, you know, I'm not going to put my opinion in that. I'm not going to say anything about that. But let me tell you something. There's a saying that goes like this. If you don't stand for something, Minister Mildred, we are going to fall for anything.
And everything.
Amen. Praise be to God. Let me tell you, it's coming to that point, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to scare you, but the time will come where they are weeding out those that are fictitious as opposed to those that are real. Praise be to God. The time will come when they will probably even set foot in your congregation to see, do you accept human relations number 4465, and that's just a fictitious number. But that number instigates or institutes that we will allow abortion. We will allow things that are not considerable conducive for the Word of God. And if you oppose that, if you oppose those very ordinances in which that they are trying to mandate into our life, you are going to be persecuted. You'll be just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that when they did not bow down to the likes of the statue that Nebuchadnezzar erected, they were cast into a fiery furnace. Well, you will be cast into a cold jail cell, but are you ready? And this is the reason why I make a plead, Minister Mildred, for husbands and wives, primarily in the body of Christ, to stay affixed to the things of God. Because listen, O man of God, know ye not that the day would come that maybe one day when it said one will be in the field and one will be taken and the other one left? Oh, you just thought that was referring to the rapture. You just thought, amen, that was referring to the coming of the Lord. But let me explain something to you. That very well constitutes and institutes those of us that are standing for true holiness and righteousness shall be taken away. Know ye not that even in our blessed country that we live in right now, that they have instituted and that they have mandated that even the Federal Emergency Management Association can come in and declare martial law and take husbands from their wives right now while you're jumping and shouting and speaking in tongue? Know ye not, amen, that if a worldwide catastrophe or event takes place, we can be misplaced from our homes, just like they were when Katrina took place. Many of people were misplaced from their homes for, what, months and months and months, and in some cases, even years. So he said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And it is high time for the people of God to understand what's taking place. Minister Miller, help me out. What's going on? What should we be capitalizing on when it comes to marriage and the family?
Amen. Marriage, the same thing God is was capitalizing on, because the first title he gave was, you know, husband and wife and father and mother. You know, we have all these kind of titles today, the bishops, the apostles, and, you know, doctors and all of these things. But God, he himself, you know, he loves, and he created, you know. And I just thank and praise God that we got to go back to the things that God loved and that God first and foremost put there. You know, the husband, the wife, amen, the mother, the father, amen. Those titles, you know, that it was so close to him and dear to his heart. And we got to go back to that way you know, those titles are not that, you know, awesome, so to speak, today in our society. You know, we want these big dignified titles, you know, something that, but God just said husband, wife. You know, those are gorgeous titles because he made them and he personally had them way before the other big name titles. So we're to go back to the things that God loves. And I know that God loves marriages, and he has ordained marriages, especially the godly marriage. We got to go back to the things that pleases God. No longer we want to be tickled with the things of this world. Amen. The church itself has to get back to loving what God loves. Amen. And that's how we'll be children after his own heart, going back to the things that pleases him. And it's all about pleasing God.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, as Minister Mildred said, amen, we've got to get back to the place where we please God. I also read recently where this young man was holding Bible class in his house.
Oh, yes.
And because he was sharing the word of God, they began to bring ordinances against him, saying that it was unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, had he been partying and juking and having a good time, they wouldn't have said anything.
Nothing.
And so the ordinances began to increase to where they say, well, the structurization of your home is not suitable for the amount of people that are coming. I think he had about 20 people.
20
there.
At the maximum.
And you know, you do that with your little family reunions.
Please.
You do that. You do that on holidays, Christmas. Nothing is said,
birthday.
But because he is sharing the word of God, they began to mandate and incorporate that he must add additional room to accommodate the people. And then they had the audacity to tell this gentleman that he could not have so many people even in his backyard. It was unsafe.
Yes, Lord.
Do you see what types of time of that we're living in? Persecution came against this husband and wife because they chose to stand for the word of God. We are living in a dispensation of time where people are taking down on every side. And God is truly separating the tare from the wheat. And you must understand, brothers and sisters, you are going to be tried. That's the reason why husbands must love their wives as Christ loved the church and, quote unquote, gave himself for it.
Amen.
Minister Mildred, I've never seen so much domestic violence
allegedly
in the body of Christ, where husbands are beating their wives in Jesus' name. Reminds me years ago of how the Ku Klux Klan was hanging African Americans
in the name
in
of Jesus.
Jesus' name. Y'all didn't hear what I said. Let me tell you something. When it comes to religion, we can use the name of Jesus, but it will be non-effective. Minister Mildred, it'll be just like when the seven sons of Sceva saw the apostles casting out demonic influence, and they said, "We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preached." And one thing about it, where there is no power, there will be no change.
Hey.
You can talk religion till you blue in the face, but tell you, when a change generally comes inside of your life, and don't get me wrong, people say, well, Bishop, we've got to grow into this thing. But as I often give this analogy, if you're 45 years old and you're still crapping in your pants and looking for somebody to change your pants, you ain't did no growing.
Come on, preacher. Amen. Amen.
Most of all, you've not been taught anything. Now, I'm not speaking about those who might have a mental deficiency.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm going to clarify that and say that with all diligence. I'm not referring to them, but I'm referring to individuals who are nonchalantly refusing to accept the unadulterated pure word of God that is able to transform our life. That's the reason why the apostle declared it in Romans chapter 12, be not conformed
to this world.
But be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. When it comes to husbands and wives, you cannot be trying to base your marriage on the way mama and daddy had theirs. Now, don't get me wrong. It's all right
to mark some of the things.
It's all right to understand. But that was the knowledge that God gave mama and daddy for their time. And so that we are now in another time. We are in a time of technological marvels and everything else. And so, brothers and sisters, we have to ask God for his godly wisdom.
That's right.
To help us to be associated in this time where he is pleased. We're no longer in the time of Noah and the building of the ark. We're no longer in the time, amen, of the horses and chariots.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right, preacher.
And so God hasn't changed, but the thing about it is his spirit still wants us to come up to speed in the dispensation of time in which that we are operating in.
Oh, yeah.
Husbands must love their wives to the degree whereas you should want to do everything with your wife. Wife, hello. You should want to do everything. But, Bishop, she won't get out of the past.
Mm-hmm.
But, Bishop, he won't stop bringing up what I done. Well, that is a trick of the enemy. But, oh, man of God, know ye not that God has made you the head of your household? Simply saying that you cannot use words to reconstruct the very shifting of the atmospherical conditions that are emanating in your house. But as a priest of your house, what you can do is take spiritual authority in the spirit realm and begin to take advantage of what God has given you and command the spirit of accusation. Let me say it again for some of you out there, because remember, Satan is an accuser of the brethren. He cannot accuse God of where you are right now. He cannot accuse God of what you're doing because you're praying and fasting, but he can go to him with your past. Well, that's what he's doing with your mate. Many of you are wondering, why is it we're not getting along? Because the accuser, the spirit of accusation, is always bringing up your past. And that is the conflict. So my brother, my priestly brother, my kingly brother, those of you who God have given the authoritative position to be the ambassador of your household, you must pray and fast that God will continually to give you the power to change the atmospherical conditions spiritually in your household. Now, as you begin to plead the blood of Jesus over your house, not only do you plead it over your household, but you plead it over the past of your life, over your wife's past, over your children's past. You see, it's the same thing that God forgave you and you want God to forgive her. You want God to forgive you for what you've done. You want God to forgive her for what she's done. And the evil one's job is to come back with the past.
And that's why it's so good right now, Bishop, for the couples, husband and wives, to live right. Because, you know, you don't want your tomorrow be, you know, your past be talk about, you know, tomorrow. Because right now,
amen,
you live right, you have a good past.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
You live right this instant, right now, from on, you have a good past. But because you still have a chance to make it right, do good. So that
That's
you
right.
won't have this past, what you're saying, even talking about now. You'll have a good past. It won't be no heartaches and heartache. You know, you can live on that instead of, you know, the hurt, the pain that was done beforehand.
Amen. And even should your past be brought up, it doesn't have to hurt you. Again, the apostles were often spoken ill from other people because of their past. They were ignorant men. Paul was considered stupid and mad because of much learning, because of his past. See, the thing about it is, when it comes to God, your past has nothing to do with God. And sometimes we, in our finite mind, think that we can always think on what we want. Remember when Jesus spoke to Ananias and said, Ananias, I want you to go pray for Saul of Tarsus.
Yes.
And the first thing that Ananias brought up was his past.
Yes, Lord. That's what he knew him by.
That's what he knew him by. But now God had to bring him back to
speed. Come on.
And said, Ananias, I don't want you to dwell on his past. He's a praying man now.
So,
But Lord, this man, he killed folks now.
Yes,
Lord. You don't know who you're sending me to.
Glory.
And even in your marriage.
Yes, Lord.
Even in your marriage, you've got to be willing to listen to the voice of God.
Amen.
Amen. Because God is telling you in the same way. But wife, he's not that same man now.
Yes.
husband, she's not that same person now.
That's right. That's
right. So don't let the effects of the past stop you from being in the present condition that God wants you to be in so he can help usher you into the future place that he's got for you.
But, Bishop, what about these men or these women that keep on repeating the same thing? And, you know, and they want their husband to believe them, or they want their wives to believe that they haven't. No, they're not going to do the same thing again, but they do it over and over. What about those? You know, because it's sort of difficult for, because to me, that's not true repentance if you're still repeating some of the same thing over and over.
Well, it depends on what some things you're talking about, Minister Mildred, because again, what happens is in the flesh, we become selective. And we begin to try to differentiate our sins according to what we feel God will accept and what God will not accept. Now, are you talking about if that mate keeps on lying to you, if that mate keeps on cheating about the lying about the bills or being that? I mean, a sin. See, the problem with most people in the body of Christ is that we want to say, well, you committed adultery. At least I didn't commit adultery. Or you cheated on your taxes. At least I didn't do that. But Jesus let us know. He said that if we keep all of the commandments and break one, you're what?
You get them on all. That's what the word of God says.
So we can only go by what God's word say. Now, when it all said and done, husband can't point finger at wife. Wife can't point finger at husband. Because if that husband is still adulterating and she's still lying, you know what? They both still on their way to H-E double hockey sticks.
Amen. But I'm saying that wife or that husband has truly gave over to the things of God. And you
what
know
do you
saying?
Call truly gave over?
Because
somebody is still holding on to what they want to hold on to, and they say, "You know what? God's not well. That's not what. That's what you say. God is not holding me accountable for that." So when we look at it that way, we have to be honest in all things. We have to realize that, you know what? If fussing and cussing is a sin, then so is adultery, then so is lying, then so is cheating. Then so is, but you know what? Even when a husband and wife neglect to be benevolent with each other, they withhold their bodies from the other one because they're trying to prove a point and say, I'm going to show him how long he can hold out. I'm going to show her how long I can hold out. That's a sin.
Yes, especially because God says it's a sin. And I know that's to be true. But there are so many cases where people are, you know, forgiving their spouses, but yet the spouses hasn't, you know, really given over to the things of God. And, you know, really, truly, you can't have a marriage like that if there's no trust in it.
Well, when you say giving over, help give some clarity to our listening audience so that they can get a clearer understanding. Because, see, one person figures that because I ain't fornicating and adulterating, I've given wholly over to God.
Well, I know many
cases. Then somebody may say, well, I ain't going to bingo no more. I'm not going to the boats anymore. Amen. But if you're still speaking abusive to your spouse, if you're still saying four-letter words to your spouse, that's not giving wholly over to God either. So help give some clarity when you say wholly over to God.
I'm saying that many times, and I'm going to be frank with it, men have, you know, went out on their wives and constantly doing it. And then they expect their wives to forgive them. And then the next time you look around, you know what I'm saying, they say they have stopped, and I've even seen the situation where they still doing
this.
Are
these godly men? Are these men that have professed to be true men of God? I'm not talking about people who just go to church. See, anybody can go to church. Anybody can say they're a Christian, just like those seven sons thought that they were men of God, and they found out that they were not the hard way. So when you say that, are you referring to so-called? Because don't forget, Minister Mildred, we're living in a dispensation of religion.
Amen, because if what you're saying, Bishop, because if a godly man, how is they godly man if they out there doing the things that is, they just is like the churchgoers to me.
Well, so, that's why I was trying to clarify
and
confirm what you meant when you said by that spouse that's solely given over to the Lord. See, when you solely give over to the Lord, number one, you're going to want to spend more time with him than anything else.
That's true.
When you're solely given over to the Lord, amen, you realize one thing, that I will go out of my way to please my spouse before I'm pleased, when you're solely given over to
because
the Lord.
Because you're pleasing yourself, because your spouse and yourself is supposed to be one.
Amen.
So if you're one, you'll go out of the way to please self.
Amen.
You know, because you're pleasing. That's the way God says
We got just about a minute left, Minister Mildred. So anything else that you want to share before we go. We got about maybe 30 seconds.
Amen. I just thank God for today, and I thank God for what he's doing, and I just pray for the homes and the marriages out there that really need to be uplifted before the Lord.
Praise be to God. Well, I tell you what, we just thank and praise God for what he has done. We thank and praise God for you, you, and you that are listening. And if you desire prayer, you can call right now at 662. Mm-hmm.
662-704-0630.
Amen. And someone is standing by waiting for your call. Listen, we love you with the love of the Lord. We pray that Moments of Inspiration has been a blessing to you. Bishop Townsend and Minister Mildred are available for counseling sessions. If you need counseling, that's right. Amen. You say, well, how much do you charge? Jesus paid it on Calvary. We love you with the love of the Lord.
And for holiness.
Praise the Lord. We pray that this broadcast has been